You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life, so tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Well, this morning I am going to speak to you on a message that's entitled Called for Excellence. Called for Excellence. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, and he says this, he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Let me just remind you, in case, you know, you've forgotten, but let me read you what it says, what we're called to here. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says this, but you, that's you, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, excellence. Excellence is this kind of thing that you know it when you see it, you know it when you experience it. It has a look, it has a language, it has a scent, it has a sound. Now, it kind of is the thing as well that kind of just takes you a moment where it's like you pause and you're like, oh yes, wow, look at this. This is excellent. You kind of have a moment of acknowledgement. Now, I reckon it was 2 years ago. 2 years ago, me and my husband Mark, we celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary, which is cool. That was 2 years ago. And but we were gifted this incredible holiday. We were so blessed. And we were gifted this holiday. So off we went to one of the Greek islands. And as we arrived at this hotel, I kind of got out the taxi. And everything about this hotel just spoke excellence. You know, I kind of walked in. They were like, madam, let me take your bags. I'm like, okay, great. We'd been on the plane, you know, traveled. You're like, you know, dying of thirst. It's like 40 degrees. And someone there was at the reception area. And I'm just taking it in. I'm like, whoa, look at it, it's so beautiful, look at this. And the smell, it just had like this spa smell. I am just like, this is incredible. Then somebody rocks up next to me with like this tray of really nice drink. And they're like, would you like a drink, madam? And I'm like, yes, I would. You know, I'm drinking this nice ice cold drink. And then someone else comes up with another tray and brings me like these face cloths, like these aromatic smelling face cloths, warm. And, you know, I'm like, okay, well, and I'm just like, this is amazing. I'm like, sign me up. I don't want to leave. Just in brackets, you know, there was no kids. So it was just like, I'm just like, this is brilliant. This is brilliant. And then they're like, okay, you know, this gentleman will show you to your room. So off we went, you know, he's taken our bags, shown us to a room. And then we go in and the room is just as amazing, just as brilliant. And everything about it was just excellent. I'm just like, ah, this is amazing. Fast forward about 2 months. We're now in August, and we go on our family holiday, which we have it's since entitled, you know, we call it now Family Memory Making Time. So here we are, and we're arriving at Eurocamp, okay, in the south of France. We're in Eurocamp, and we arrive, and, you know, there's no one to take my bags or, you know, anybody else's bags, and we kind of get at reception. We get given a map, and they're like, you know, you're caravan 1042, you know, off you go. So off we go now, you know. I'm like now trudging along with 3 tired, whingy kids, you know, dragging our suitcases. One's broken, you know, you're just like, oh, are we there yet? Mark's, you know, we're having a few arguments about which way is the right way. You can imagine, can't you? It's like, you know, we eventually arrive and, okay, we walk into the caravan and it's like it's got aircon, but they've not put it on yet, okay? So we'll just swelter while we put the aircon on. And they have got us a drink, you know, it's not ice cold, ready to go. It's not in the fridge, but it is a drink. And I'm like, okay, you know, fair enough. So we drink that, and that, you know, I'm kind of shattered by this point. And then we go into the bedrooms, which, you know, are okay for, you know, caravan, a little bit small. And I'm like, and on the bed there, and I'm like, oh, they've put so much time and effort into kind of like piling up all the bedding. And I'm like, but it's not on the bed. I now have to go, you know, cram around, you know, putting it all on. I'm just like, ah. Oh. Totally different experience, okay? Totally different. One very excellent, one, you know, not so. And I reckon every one of us has had different experiences where we've experienced something excellent and you're just like, wow, the smell, the scent, look at it, it's amazing. Whether it's in a restaurant or a shop, maybe a school that you've been to and experienced, you're like, this is just excellent. Or maybe, you know, different places in the workplace and you're like, this is amazing. So we've all had these experiences of different places, but there's also not just places that can be excellent, people are excellent. like you kind of come across these people and encounter these people, and you're like, wow, they're just amazing, aren't they? Aren't they just so good? Like the way they carry themselves, the way they hold themselves, the way they speak, everything about their life. You're like, look at this. What an excellent person. The kind of people that you walk away from them feeling like uplifted, feeling like you can take on the world, feeling like, yes, come on, just feeling excellent. Now, I reckon if I did like, you know, a little survey, that every one of us would be one of these people going, yes, I'd like to be excellent. Yes, I'd like to be that person. Everyone, you know, no one here going, no, I just want to be, you know, average. No, no one here. We all want to be excellent. But the problem is that excellent doesn't just happen. Excellent isn't as easy as it makes out, because if it was, then everyone would be having 5-star, you know, ratings, 5-star Michelin restaurants, the people at McDonald's would all have 5 stars, do you know what I mean? It would be easy, but the fact is that it isn't easy and it doesn't just happen. See, excellence, it has a few enemies, and one of the enemies of excellence is something called average. Now, average, this has the attitude more of like just getting the job done, just doing enough. It gives the sense of minimal effort. You know, no one will really see that bit. No one will really see if I just do this. No one will really notice. It has the language that sounds a bit like, that'll do. That'll do. And I think when I think about average, I think about, you know, mediocre. I think about kind of boring, plain, kind of blending in, maybe hidden, safe. And I reckon when I think about average, it is the total opposite to everything I think about when I think about audacious. To be bold, to be fearless, to be daring, to be unrestrained by convention. And church, I want to remind you today that you are not called for average, but you are called for excellence. And the thing is this, is the reason we're called for excellence is because we have an excellent God. God, in case you didn't know, is not average. God is not average. He's wonderful, he's glorious, he's magnificent, he's mighty, he's radiant, he's royalty, he's expansive, he's holy, he is worthy of all of our praise. Your God is not an average God. He is most excellent. He's not an average God, and he doesn't do average things. Nothing he does is average. Like, just take a look at the sky this morning. Blue sky, praise the Lord. Sunshine, that ball in the sky, we've not seen for a while. He's called sunshine. But you just look at creation and the creativity, the colors, and how nature works. I mean, who'd have thought about the whole thing of a caterpillar? Do you know what I mean? Just think about that. A caterpillar then kind of like goes in this little cocoon for a season and then comes out and it can fly and it's a butterfly. It's just genius. I think about, you know, life and birth and the fact that God puts within us the ability to grow and reproduce. Like, it is miraculous. It's amazing. So God doesn't do anything that is average. And the thing is, the Bible says that we are made in his image. We are made in his image. So therefore, when it comes to us being Christ's ambassadors, guess what? We cannot reflect average, because God is not average. We have to reflect an excellent God. I just want to kind of take a moment before we kind of go on, just to make sure, church, that when I'm talking about excellence and when you think about excellence, that we're not mistaking it for perfection. Average is an enemy of excellence, but I also want to say that perfection is also an enemy of excellence. See, perfection, it's a destination. Perfection is a standard or a marker that is unattainable, that you can never reach. Everything about perfectionism inherently is focused on what's wrong, what we don't have, what we haven't got, how could it have been better? It's like, it's just problem-based. Perfectionism is based on performance and not identity. And this is a key thing that I think so many of us mistake excellence, perfectionism, and what we do is we attach our identity, we attach our self-worth to excellence, to perfection, to trying to obtain, to trying to hit a target, to trying to hit a marker. And when that doesn't happen, when we fail, when we make mistakes, because we're all human, we all do, when that happens, then our self-worth and our value of ourselves goes down with it. So perfection is based on performance and instead of identity. And it really is, it's just unrealistic, unable expectations that we can meet. And we're left feeling disappointed, frustrated, and totally exhausted. I love this quote from Edwin Bliss. He says this, Pursuit of excellence is healthy. Pursuit of perfection is frustrating, neurotic, and a terrible waste of time. I love that. So I just want you to take a moment, church. Breathe. Pressure off. We are not talking today about being perfect. We are not talking about perfection because the only person that is perfect is Jesus Christ. We are not called for perfection. We're called for excellence. And excellence really is all about the spirit that we carry. It's who we are. And I already said it's who we are because it's who God is. So we, as people, as audacious people, as people who love God, who a God who is excellent, we are called to live excellent lives. And it's the spirit that we carry. And I really want us to get this today. And maybe you're thinking, Emily, but yeah, look around at our building. Everything we do is excellence. You know, we have really bright orange bags that do clash with certain colors, but you know, they're excellent. We don't just stop there. We stand to our feet and we applaud. We've got cool little lights. Have you seen the coffee bar? Have you seen the welcome team and the car park team? Have you seen the kids team? Have you seen the leaders? Everything about this place is excellent, Emily. What are you talking about? And I would agree. I'm really proud of our audacious Chester campus, that you are so excellent. But what I really want to make sure is that we are really understanding the heart behind it. The why behind it, as Atanuke said, that, you know, we're understanding the why. Because we can all be excellent for a day. We can all be excellent on the first day of a new job, can't we? We can all make sure our house is kept tidy, the new car is kept tidy for a few weeks. But what happens when the rubber hits the road? What happens when someone asks you to do something at another level? What happens when someone pushes your buttons a little bit and, you know, just asks that little bit extra? What happens in those scenarios? If you don't understand the why, you will just resort to being average. But we've got to understand the why behind this. Why is it that we're called to excellence? And what does excellence actually do? Now, when I think about in the Bible, when I think about excellent people, I think Daniel has to be up there. Okay, Daniel, he was a great guy. I haven't got time to read it all now, but I want you to, you know, go and read Daniel. Daniel 6 is kind of the whole lion in, Daniel in the lion's den story. Go and read that. But Daniel as a guy, he knew what it meant to carry the spirit of excellence. He did. He carried it. Whether people were watching or not, whether he was under pressure or not, he carried the spirit of excellence. It's who he was. It says of Daniel, it says in Daniel 6:3, I'll just read this. It says, now Daniel so distinguished himself, he stood out. Didn't blend in, wasn't average. He so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. See, here is a guy, Daniel, who stood out for what he believed for. He stood out for being excellent. So I just want to go through a few things about the spirit of excellence and what this is. The first thing is this, the spirit of excellence. Excellence honors God. Our excellence honors God. Now, a few years ago, me and Mark, well, it was a long time ago, actually, more than a few, we were youth pastors, one of the best jobs ever, loved it. But often on a Friday night, we were scrubbing the floors, we were trying to, you know, because we'd spilt something gross on the floors, we were kind of fixing TVs and lights because the youth ministry just got blamed for everything. Abby, yes, Josh, you know, the youth ministry get blamed for everything. So now, I'm not a youth pastor, but now I just have kids who are in youth. And it still seems to be the same thing, but my kids now get blamed for lots of things. So the other day, we were in a meeting, we were in church, and some of the leaders' kids, they were in the offices wanting to watch a football match. So we were like, yes, go and do that. Have some pizza. You know, they were occupied, we were doing whatever. And then it kind of got back to us that, oh, there's been a problem at the end of the evening because somehow somebody had got pizza on the ceiling in the offices. And I'm like, I am 99% sure that that will be one of my children. So I'm like, boys, did you or did you not maybe get pizza on the ceiling? They were like, yes, Mom, we scored. Our team has scored. It was so exciting. We just threw it up in the air. I was like, brilliant. Credit for enthusiasm. But the problem was this. I was saying, okay, I get the enthusiasm. I get it. You know, it's rare that we score, so I get that. You know, that's all good. But the problem is with this, boys, is that you're not honoring the room that you were put in. You're not honoring those offices and you're not looking after them because excellence actually doesn't just leave the room in a good way. It leaves it better than that which it found it. And leaving pizza on the ceiling is not doing that. So you've got to honor, you know, an excellence, our excellence, it honors God.
It honors God. For Daniel, when he was, he got called by King Nebuchadnezzar to be in his palace and in his, you know, in his grounds. And he, the people were trying to say, you know, eat this food, you know, eat this really good food, this good wine. And Daniel refused to defile himself, the Bible says, refused to defile himself because he wanted to honor God. He wanted to honor God because he knew that doing that would dishonor God. And so he chose, in fact, if you're doing the Daniel fast, this is where it comes from, okay? This is where it comes from, and he refused to do that. People were not watching, you know, necessarily every single move, but Daniel knew. I would know, so I'm not going to do that. I want to honor God with my life, with my excellence. He then goes on to pray when everyone says, don't pray to any other God apart from King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel's like, no, I know that I need to honor God. My excellence in this is going to honor God. And people wouldn't have maybe seen him in his bedroom, you know, or known. But he made it clear that, no, I am going to refuse to bow down to anyone else. And I am going to honor God. The Bible talks about us giving our lives as a living sacrifice to God. Give our lives as a living sacrifice to God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to offer my God, who is excellent, an average offering. With my life, I don't want it to be average and say, hey, God, have my life. Here's my average offering. I'm going to live my life averagely. I'm going to be average, and here it is. No, I'm sure like you, I'm thinking I want to offer my life excellently to an excellent God. So I have to ask myself a few questions. You know, is my life honoring God? Am I living excellently? When it comes to my thoughts, is my thinking excellent? It says in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So is my thoughts, are my thoughts like this? Or are my thoughts negative? Cynical? Am I thinking more victim rather than victorious? Am I thinking failure or am I thinking faith? Am I thinking about how comparing and contrasting myself with others, or am I celebrating and thanking God for what he's done in my life? Right. When it comes to my attitude, am I thinking, oh, I just want to get this job done, you know, get it out of the way, you know, just do whatever it takes, you know, minimal. Am I thinking that way? Is that the way I'm thinking? Or am I taking time to think about the thing that I've been given to do, and I'm going to think about how can I do the best with this? How can I put my best foot forward? How can I produce the best thing? Is my doing excellent? Is how I live my life, is what I, you know, what I do, is it excellent? Colossians 3, verse 23, whatever you do, church, whatever you do, whether it's in your family, in your marriage, with your kids, whatever you do, maybe it's in your office in the week, whatever you do, maybe it's in church on a Sunday, serving on a team, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if working for the Lord and not for human masters. We've got to be people that commit to say, do you know what? Whatever I do, I'm going to do it fully. I'm going to give my whole heart to it, and I'm going to do it to honor God. See, there's nothing worse than a half-finished job, is there? Like, nothing worse than an average half-finished job. Sometimes I look and I go in the kitchen and I'm like, oh, look, there's a lovely pile of dishes, like all on, you know, just by the dishwasher. And I think, oh, well done, team. Well done, team, for taking your, you know, your plates and your cups from the dining room table to the top of the dishwasher. That's great. And you've even stacked them really nicely. Like, that's awesome. There's just one problem, that the dishes are not going to get clean on top of the dishwasher. They've got to go in it. So now Muggins here will have to put them all in. That is what I'd call a half job, an average job. Also, you know, times when I go into the wash, you know, the bathroom, and there's a washing thing, and it's even labeled lights and darks, and I think, oh, good job that you put it at the feet of the laundry basket. Like, you're honoring the laundry basket. You just put it in the feet. I'm like, just put it in. Just put, you know, a little bit more effort, and just, you know, that would be excellent, wouldn't it? But in life, we can operate like that, where it's like we just do enough, where we kind of just put forward an average offering. What we do is average, and we're not called to be average people. We're called to be people of excellence. So is my thinking, is my doing? Here's another one. Is my speech excellent? Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Our encourage is, let's make sure our language isn't lazy and it isn't average, but it's excellent, that we're talking highly of each other, that we're encouraging each other, that we're speaking faith and hope and positivity, that we've got each other's backs. There's nothing more sad than hearing people in the house of God, you know, talking negatively about other people. That is not what we're called to. That's average, it's lazy kind of talk. And the Bible says, let's not do that. Let's talk and let's speak life over people that lift each other up. So our excellence, it honors God. The next thing is this, that excellence is God's signature. I love this idea. That excellence is God's signature. Psalm 119 verse 68 says this, you are good and what you do is good. See, God is excellent, therefore what he does is excellent. They say that every job is a self-portrait of the person that did it. That's quite scary, isn't it? Like, ouch. Every job is a self-portrait. So I guess the question is like, what does your work say about you? What does your speech say about you? What does your personal life say about you? Because again, as Christ's ambassadors, made in his image, church, we are called with our doing, with our walking, with our everyday ordinary lives, we are called to be people that reflect God, that reflect an excellent God. And what we do, we have to carry his signature, which his signature is excellence. So we have to sign off our lives, sign off our speech, sign off how we do our marriages, sign off how we parent our kids, sign off how we serve, sign of how we do our work in our workplace with the signature that God has, which is excellence. Just like the other week, I was at one of my sons, he plays for a football academy, and they had like a parent conference. So I was there attending, which is quite funny to be on the opposite side of doing conferences, because it's normally like, you know, we're putting them on. And I was pleasantly surprised, you know, someone greeting me and giving me a little itinerary of the time. And, you know, it was great. The building, as I walked around, it was excellent. Everything's clean and pristine and everything just looks in order. And then as people over the course of the evening kind of shared different things, there was this one guy and he began to speak about the club. Now, the club, it has a category one status, which is like the top level status. And the guy was talking to us as parents, really, asking us that our behavior and the way we operate when we're in matches, it reflects our category one status. Because, you know, at times football, it can get a bit heated, it can get a bit exciting and a bit enthusiastic when your child's playing. And he was saying, you know, how you behave reflects on our club. And we want to make sure that when people come to our club, that they walk away thinking, wow, how amazing is this club? And that they are worthy of their category one status, rather than thinking, we don't want to go there. The parents are horrible. The kids are horrible, you know. And I was just like, yes, come on. Yes, you go. You know, this is awesome. But I had this thought where I'm like, gosh, this guy is so passionate about making sure that his club reflects excellence. And I was thinking, that's great. Football's great, but it doesn't bring people into eternity. And thinking, how much more should we be excited and passionate about the house of God reflecting the excellence of our God? And you know, you can look around our buildings and you go to any of our campuses and they're the same. You look, you think, oh, everything, you know, everything's good, but there's a reason why. It isn't just because we want everyone to go, oh, wow, isn't the Chester campus? It's so excellent. Aunt Lena's like, aren't they so great? Although that's true. But we don't want it to point to us. We don't want it to be that people say, oh, about your church, oh, everyone, there's such a high standard. Not because we want a high standard, not because we want it to point to us, but we want it to reflect God. We want to show people that God is excellent, that he's worthy of all praise, that he is who he is. So I want to encourage us, let's take ownership of our lives personally, but also this house. Like, if you're on team, then I want whatever role it is, whether it's on the car park, on the kids' team, on the sound desk, in the band, if you're here to set out the chairs, set them out excellently. My husband will be so pleased. He loves chairs setting out. But do it excellently. Do it with all you've got. Don't do it averagely, half-heartedly, half a job. Let's do it with excellence and saying, do you know what? I'm going to do this. And do you know what? Maybe no one will even see that I adjusted the back four chairs. But I know that number one, God sees. And that I know that I'm honoring God with my excellence. And I know that I'm signing off what I do with the spirit of excellence that's going to reflect an excellent God. His signature is one of excellence. Everything he does is excellent. The last thing is this, is that excellence lifts others up. Again, I haven't got time to read it, but Daniel, the way he lived his life, the way he honored God, and the way he was excellent in everything, eventually meant as he carried the spirit, the atmosphere of excellence, we talked about that the other week with Pastor Glenn, he carried the spirit of excellence, the atmosphere of excellence in his life, what it did, it began to lift others up. It lifted others up so that they too would see Jesus. And it says at the end of that story that King Nebuchadnezzar, after God's done his excellent thing and saved Daniel from the lion's den, King Nebuchadnezzar says, everyone, you need to bow down and worship the God of Daniel because he's done this, because he's excellent. And what Daniel does is he lifts up a whole people group. And I want to say, when you carry the spirit of excellence, you call out excellence in other people. And the world will say, be average, take shortcuts, do what's good for you, do what's easy, you know, what, do minimal. The world will say that. But as you live excellently, you will call people out of averageness into an excellent living. You lift people up. I love that every Tuesday in our Manchester campus, we serve the homeless with food, and we get hairdressers in to do their hair and to, you know, so they walk out feeling sense of love, of dignity. And what we're doing, we're not offering them just, a cheap kind of, second-rate meal. We're giving them the best we can do, three-course meal. And I love the fact that the team there are lifting others up. The excellence, the way that we do, the way that we operate is lifting others up. 2 Corinthians 8:7. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Let us be people that excel, that are excellent in the way that we give to each other so that we can lift each other up. We can lift other people up out of average into excellence. Paul says, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Church, you are called for excellence. Called for excellence. So I want to ask you, what areas of your life maybe have kind of dwindled down to being average? Where can you maybe step up your excellence levels? Maybe what new habits do you need to create? So Aristotle says this, he says, excellence is not a singular act, it's a habit. You are what you repeatedly do. And for some of us in this place, maybe we need to just change some habits that will help us lift our level of excellence. I just want to say on a practical note, I think one of the things that we can do is help create margin in our life. If you have no margin, you have little time to be excellent. If you create a little bit of margin, you can make sure that the job you're here to do, maybe it's on a Sunday, maybe it's in your workplace, you can arrive just a little bit earlier so that you can think about how you're going to do your job excellently. So you can think, I don't have to rush it, don't have to just put it together, don't have to do it quickly and get out of there. If you create margin in your life, you can have space to be able to be excellent in all that you do. Called for excellence. We are called for excellence. And I just imagine a church where every one of us is pursuing, firstly, God, but pursuing this thing, the spirit of excellence, and how our workplaces will be transformed, how your family, how we interact with each other, our friends, our spouses, team on a Sunday, how that would change if we're people that say, I understand that we're called for excellence. This isn't about perfection. It's not an unattainable destination we're trying to reach. It's the spirit we carry. We carry the spirit of excellence to reflect an excellent God. Why don't you stand to your feet for a moment? And maybe God's just kind of been, just highlighting, pinpointing certain areas, and you're like, oh, yeah. And there's no condemnation in this, church. This is just about everyone who's going, okay, there's probably a new level of excellence because, you know, God is so big, so vast. We could never, you know, understand everything. So there's always more to learn, isn't there? There's always space for us to grow. So I want us to sing this song, Join With Heaven. And just for a moment, why don't we just, let's just worship God together for a moment. Come on.
Join all of heaven answers. And holy is your name. And I will join all of heaven in praise. Hallelujah, our God reigns. And I will join with the angels and saints. And holy is your name, and I will join all of heaven and praise. Hallelujah, our God reigns.
I just wanted to pray for some people in here who, at the beginning I was talking about perfection, and there's some people in here that you know that your life, that you strive and strain to hit that perfection level, that you want the approval of other people, that every time you do a job, you're looking for the approval of other people, or that you know that really, like, your identity is wrapped up in what you do, and that you'll know it's you because when you don't quite hit the mark that you've made in your head, you feel disappointed. You feel like a failure. You feel like you're not good enough. And I want to pray for you people because that is not of God. God says that He's the only one that's perfect. And that our identity is found in Him, not in what you do. And it's by His grace that we can live and be who we are. But it's not of Him that we would feel that we have to live and strive and strain to be something that He has not called us to. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, you're saying, yeah, I know I need to readjust this. I need to think differently. That perfectionism and that trying to be perfect, trying to do this, is coming out of a place of, you know, just insecurity, inadequacy, or feeling like I'm not good enough. Then I want to pray for you. So why don't you lift your hands across this place? Come on, I feel like something's going to shift. Something's going to lift off you as we pray today. I want you to walk away from this place if you've not just given this to God. Hands all over the place. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, God, I thank you that you see every hand in this place. God, that you know, God, the pressure that people put on themselves. God, for people that have even this week thought to themselves, I've just not got what it takes. I'm just not good enough. That they're trying to attain something. For the people that feel, I don't know, just disappointed and upset, maybe even hurt because somebody hasn't given their sign of approval. Someone didn't say to them, well done. God, for all these different emotions and feelings, this pressure that we can often live contained in, God, right now, I just declare your freedom, that something would lift off them, God, knowing that you say over them how much you love them, that they have the Father's heavenly approval stamped over them, that you love them just as they are, God, that you see all their flaws, you see their weaknesses, their mistakes, but God, in spite of that, you still love them, that your grace is over them. So right now, I just pray for a release. I speak freedom. God, for every lie of the enemy, we just say, we speak your truth, that they are loved. God, that their approval is found in you, their identity is found in you. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name, amen. I just want us to, I'm going to read Psalm 51, because I guess this kind of message, like, if we want to carry the spirit of excellence, then we have to go and spend time with the one who is excellent. That really, the more time you spend with God, the more you look, the more you gaze upon His incredibleness, His majesty, the more you look at God and see how excellent He is, then we're going to be able to carry that and carry His signature into all we do. But there's a moment, really, I guess, where probably for every one of us, myself included, that we're not perfect. That's okay. Like I said, God knows our flaws. He knows the mistakes, the weaknesses. He knows the times when we do half a job and just put the dishes on top of the dishwasher and not in it. He knows all that. He loves us in spite of all that. His grace is sufficient, the Bible says, to cover our weaknesses. But I really felt that there was just a moment where we say, okay, God, again, we commit ourselves to living our lives with excellence, that we kind of commit ourselves again to say, God, I want my offering of my life to not be average, but to be excellent. So I want you, if that's you and you're saying, yeah, I want to commit again, saying, God, I want to reflect who you are. I want to reflect your excellence. Then why don't you lift your hands? And I'm going to read Psalm 51. I just thought this was a great, some great words here. It says this, create in me a pure heart, O God, and a renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So God, right now, we commit ourselves again to you. We thank you, God, that you are the perfect one. God, that you are most excellent. God, that you are worthy of all our praise. God, that our lives we want to offer right now are living sacrifices. God, we don't want to be average. Help us, God. Holy Spirit, fill us with your power that enables us to be and live excellent lives. God, that we would carry the spirit of who you are, the spirit of excellence. That when we're in our workplaces, that we would do and think and speak with excellence. When we're with our families, with our husbands and wives, when we're with our kids, God, help us, give us the grace and the ability to be excellent. God, when we come to the house of God, help us to play our part in with excellence. But God, right now, we commit ourselves again to you. And God, we just look to you. We worship you, God. And we say, you are most excellent. God, you are worthy of all our praise.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.